Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Welcome to the third installment of the anniversary client series of the Ambitious Tribe podcast. It's been a year. Now, in this episode, we're going to have mom of two with an incredible story on how she was able to pivot several times in her pursuit to responding to her self-discovery as she further solidifies where her calling is taking her. Now, what I admire most about this woman is that she's got a soul made out of resilience, grit, and bravery. She's also living proof that once you allow your desires to move you, you get to move mountains plus more. Of course, she's also one of my favorite clients because all of them are my favorite. And I'd love you to listen to how she was able to build a clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable consulting business with work-life integration in mind and, of course, self-love. We've been working together for about 2 years now, and she still continues to amaze me with how much strength she has amidst challenges as a single mother and, of course, a provider. Now, I'm going to let her do the talking. Dear Driven and Ambitious, meet one of the Ambitionaire's rock stars, the Habits Coach, well, the then's Habits Coach, now Speakers Manager and Mentor, Badette Araoyo. Hi, Badette.
Hi. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And I'm so, so happy that you are part of this podcast because, again, we've been working for about 2 years now. And I'm sure, you know, there are so many stories that you and I can definitely talk about because I felt like we grew together. Yes. Basically, you've seen how I also evolved the business, how we all transitioned. And it's really, really great for us to talk about beginnings from where we were and the quantum leaps that had happened throughout mm-hmm. the 2 years that we've been working together. But before that, let me ask you the usual question that I ask. Who is Badette many milestones ago?
Wow. Who is Badette many milestones? Well, I guess I've always been a dreamer. Ever since I was young, I was always a dreamer. But before we met, I was a dreamer. I was an action taker. But then again, I was still living in a scarcity mindset. I felt like I thought I was confident enough to take on the world, but actually I was living in my own bubble.
Tell us about that. What do you mean by your own bubble?
Okay. So I was, at that time, before we met, I was, yes, a habits coach, but I was already pivoting to becoming a speakers manager. So I was thinking, wow, I could really handle speakers, handle life coaches, because you know, they really need help when it comes to speaking engagements. But then again, I was just playing within my network. So that was the bubble that I was in. I was not going out of my network. And I have to be honest, at that time, my network was still very small. And though I was brave enough to go for my dreams, because for me at that time, being a speaker's manager, I was crafting my own path. But then again, I was living in this scarcity mindset, at this so much fear. And yeah, I knew I needed to go out of my network, but I didn't know how. And if there was an opportunity for me to go out of my network, I was like, okay, imposter syndrome, which you know, Cassie. And so there, that was me milestones ago.
Do you remember when we started? What was the ultimate dream that you had? What was the very first milestone that you wanted to achieve that felt like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then you were able to hit it. Is there anything? Do you still remember that?
At that time, I think the very first milestone I wanted was to earn six figures. And it was for me like, is this real? Would it even happen? I mean, I wasn't believing myself at all. Imposter syndrome was real. It was really real. And also because of that scarcity mindset. So I was writing down my goal, but I wasn't believing that I could actually achieve it.
Right. I think this is a great topic for today as well, because as you also empowered yourself, you're also empowering other people. Now, coming from a place of, I wish I would be able to hit this milestone, which is your first six figures. And then when you hit your first six figures, what was the feeling? Was it hard to actually hit the six figures, or was it, I mean, what was it? Was it exhausting? Was it like a dream come true? What was going on in your mind back then?
Actually, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I mean, you just really needed to move forward with the steps and really know your client and really know their pain, listen to them, and it's not really about, for me, it wasn't really, at that time, I wasn't really selling. I was just listening to them, knowing what they need. And when I hit that mark, I was like, is this real?
It wasn't that hard after all.
Yes, I needed to even recompute, is this real? Did I really get it? Right.
How long did it took you, or how short did it took you? Do you still remember?
6 months.
Right. It wasn't 6 months.
Right. I mean, from start, it's just really 6 months. And I think what really opened me up was breaking through that scarcity mindset.
Actually, having to hit on that milestone, there is more to it than just the monetary return, right? So yeah. What were the lessons that you had that broke the ceiling or breakthroughs that you had as you actually journeyed through accomplishing that very first milestone that felt like a dream, or it's so high or it's so far? What was it? Do you remember?
One was show up. Really show up. There are no excuses for you not to show up. I mean, sometimes, you know, life happens, but most of the time we can find a way to show up. I'm saying most of the time, because there are times that really we cannot show up for some reason. But if at the back of your head, you know, there's like a small chance of showing up, then still go show up, because that also shows to your clients your character, your credibility, your integrity.
You know, it's pretty tricky also when people say, you gotta show up. Sometimes they think that you really have to be like physically there, or, you know, we see you, like really what's happening. But what is your definition of actually showing up?
Honoring your word. Like, there was a time, so I was in the program already. I was already having class, the course, but for some reason, I really cannot show up because there was a passing away of a family member. I wanted to show up. I really wanted to show up. But the thing is, my mental state couldn't. And it happens. So what I did, my way of showing up at that time, is I really wrote a heartfelt message to all my mentees and really told them what I was going through. But at the same time, I also gave them assignments. So they were still, you know, they were still working. They were still going through the course. So I guess for me, showing up is really honoring your word, honoring your commitment that you're going to deliver.
That's true. That's true. And it doesn't have to be very complex. It doesn't mean you have to go on live stream every freaking day. You can actually do batching and get to also pre-plan your life and in 90-day sprints, which is what we usually do. So, Bats, how did you actually get to where you are right now? I mean, why did you choose to become a speaker's manager or speaker's mentor? I mean, coming from, actually, even before that, the habits coach. I mean, what brought you to this kind of niche, right? While everybody wants to maybe become, let's just say, an event organizer or maybe a VA or whatever that may be. So why that one? It's pretty niched.
Yeah, okay. So, well, it's a cliche, but it's really true. Your greatest pain will be your greatest blessing. So I was going through a painful breakup, okay? My marriage fell apart. So I, you know, unexpectedly became a single mom. So, of course, I was crying. I was in pain. But then again, I said, oh my gosh, I have three boys. It's three boys and three boys that I have to really take care of. That was my why for me to be able to stand up again. And for those of you who don't know, I was an events manager for the longest time before I got married. And when I got married, I didn't work. So for 10 years, I didn't have work. So at that time that I needed to go back to some kind of work, I was already in my 40s. And honestly, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to go back to work after, you know, 10 years. I mean, what work will I go back to? I mean, I don't want that events manager before because that wouldn't fit my lifestyle anymore because I'm a mother of three. And then how could I go back to work? I don't have network, right? And then again, I also didn't have capital to start a business. And so I said, okay, what can I start with? And luckily, you know, one of my cousins was looking for someone to market their product. So for me, wow, that's good because I don't have to put in capital. And then, okay, I just needed to find network for me to market their product. And then that's where I started my sales job at that time. So I was there. And then eventually, you know, it was a moment of, I remembered my first presentation to a big company. It was a moment of me rediscovering my capabilities again. Because I didn't know what my capabilities for like 10 years. And it was a moment like, oh, I remembered I used to present to companies before. I remember I used to talk to, you know, big guys before, so no, at the top level. So I can do this again. It's in me. It's really, really rediscovering who I was. And then, you know, one thing led to another and I started to dream again. Well, I went into several businesses. It didn't work out until in one of my job opportunities, I became a country representative of a US firm. So I said, okay, I'm the country representative. I have to level up my skills. You know, you have to really, okay. So I enrolled myself in a program where I had to present, you know, elevating my presentation skills. And oh my gosh, I didn't realize that program was for me to be able to conduct my own program, my own talk. And I said, okay, go for it. So I just, you know, went for it. And then after a month, I had my own talk. I conducted my own talk. I produced my own talk. It's because I'm an action taker. So in every time that I go into a program, I make sure that I implement everything that I learned. If it works for me, good. If it doesn't work for me, still good.
Yes, yes.
Right? I mean, it's my only way of knowing if that program works.
You have to take action.
Yeah, you have to take actions. And so I did. And oh my gosh, it opened more doors for me. And all I talked about was habits. The habits that I used for me to really stand up from nothing. And from there, I became a habits coach. But then again, life happened, you know. It's just, you know, I continue to improve myself. And once you continue to improve yourself, it's like, okay, the universe gives you another opportunity.
Always.
And yes, and then at that time, I was like in a crossroads because as I was having my speaking engagements, I saw other life coaches who are far better than me, who are far experienced than me when it comes to coaching. But they're not, they are not really getting paid much. Right? Or not getting enough speaking engagements.
Right.
So I said, oh my gosh, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, my life turned around because of life coaching. So if I felt that they need help, the life coaches, and I saw also that they were asking me, how could you even come up with your own talk, with your own, conduct your own workshop? How did you go for your everything, the logistics? I said, it was easy for me because I was an events manager.
Exactly.
So I found out there was a need. I mean, the coaches are great with their coaching. But there was a need on how to market themselves, how to present themselves, how to even find their own clients so that, you know, I mean, finding their own market, right? So I said, if I help them, then I'll be helping more people.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like what we say, right, that the best coaches are great in what they do, but they need help and they're not great in marketing. It's so much better if they become great in marketing too, because who is the best marketer otherwise, right? It's still you, because you're the one who knows what you're talking about. And I remember as well when you went through the first few months of us working together, you had a speaking engagement. And I really remember this, because at the time, that was actually the challenge for you. Like, how am I be able to price myself so that I can also let my future clients or my clients know that you can price yourself the way that you deserve, not the way that you feel. So we're like, okay, let's do it. So with a little rehashing, and I remember explicitly when you said, oh my gosh, Cassie, I closed $1,200, of course, in peso equivalent. $1,200, is this real? And I remember you were like, are you sure, Cassie, I can do $1,200? I was like, yeah, you can. So I just basically just dared you. And you were like, I closed it. I was like, okay. I remember explicitly when you said, wow, they have a budget? I was like, yeah, it's just hidden in their back pocket. They're just not telling. Right? So with that in mind, I think that was a major breakthrough for you. I think when that incident or when that scenario or that event happened, it really changed your confidence like tenfold. I saw the growth after that. You're like, yeah, I can do this. I can close this. I can. And you were like super charged. You just needed a win.
Yeah.
And I think that is really powerful and coming from, you know, having these challenges. And now that you are serving life coaches and also applying all these things that you have learned in the past, how did you find out that this is exactly the passion or this is exactly the calling that you have to follow And then how did you know that the door, that this is the door that you were going to choose?
How did I find out? First of all, as I was doing my habits coaching workshop, I felt that, yeah, there's a need for habits coaching, but I felt there was something more. I felt that there was something more. And as I was doing that, my attention was refocusing on the coaches that needs help. Much as I don't want to see it, it's there in front of me, like calling me already. And I knew I was good at organizing with events, and I knew I was also good at, you know, negotiating, mediating with people. As long as I believe in you, I believe in the product, I'm good at negotiating. And it's just really knowing where you're good at. I think that really helped me. I knew where I was good at. But at that time, I was scared.
Of course.
Who even is a speaker's manager? Right? Not in the Philippines. I don't know if there's a speaker's manager or a speaker's mentor. But I said, okay, I think I would regret it more if I don't take this path.
Yeah, if you didn't try at all.
Yes. And then I tried, and then now more speakers are like getting so curious at what I'm going to offer them. And, you know, life coaches are like, it's like you could see it in their eyes, like, you're the answer.
What are the results though? I mean, what was it like to be a speaker's manager? I mean, I was a band manager before and all these things, but it's kind of relevant, but with speakers, it's just sole person. It's just one person, mm-hmm. right? And an intellectual property. So where were you taking them? What was the big promise that you can actually take them into?
Yeah. So I was telling them that, okay, you need to rebrand yourself. First of all, I need to know who do you want to serve, right? Who do you want to talk to? Where you're good at? I need to know the life coach that I'm managing. Why? Because half of my name he or she is gonna carry.
Yeah. Right?
So I need to know the person, his values, her values, and everything about that person, and what programs of what type of coaching they are offering. And then from there, okay, then I would tell them that, okay, I can market you to other companies, right? To other companies. But at the same time, I would also give them feedbacks on their programs, because I'm going to market you. So you have to trust me, right? You have to trust me on, okay, I think you could tweak this. I think you could, you know, do certain things based on what you really want to do, who you want to serve, and also based on what the client needs, right? And so so I would, you know, at that time I would mentor them, and then I would also really be, because, you know, life coaches, they love coaching, but some don't like speaking.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but then again, I tell them that you're the best, you know, you're the best person to market yourself when you speak, right? So my way of really marketing you is for you to also learn how to speak confidently. And well, that one also touches on vulnerability, a lot of things, because you need to connect with your audience. So I also teach them that. But then again, on the other side, I market them to the companies.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, this is interesting because you were saying that you didn't have a network, right? And it's pretty tricky because how can I, let's just say if I were a life coach and I come to you and then who is Vads? And then suddenly, I mean, you were saying you didn't have a network. And so how did you actually put them all together? Right?
I don't know. Well, before when I was starting out, that was 2015, I really didn't have a network. But I guess throughout the years, I'm very intentional with my relationships, whether it's professional or personal. And whenever I get the chance to meet somebody, I do my best to connect. Even if it's corporate, it's company, it's HR, it's, you know, or somebody in safety, I do my best to connect and be, what do you call this? Unforgettable. So that they would remember me and I would also remember their, you know, contact details. And somehow through that, five years, I've gained enough network for me to market them. But, and then, you know, like for this event, I'm talking to different, you know, people, different organizations. And I really do my best to, I don't know, I guess with the way I work, I'm really a person who, I don't know. I guess I just do my job well.
Yeah. And besides, I mean, there's the internet. So pretty much it's an open book and you can just reach LinkedIn.
Yes. And because of, social media and LinkedIn, I just, you know, bravely put myself out there because it's free. That's what I'm telling these life coaches. Social media is there. It's free. You just have to be intentional on what you are going to put out.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yes.
So having said that, what were the outcomes of the past clients that you've had? Where did you take them?
One is they became clear on what they want to offer. Two is, because that's, a lot of life coaches want to help a lot of people.
True. That's true.
Right?
So I can conquer the world.
but you can't. You have to narrow down for you to be able to get a client, you have to know your expertise, right? You have to know your expertise. And so after that, they were able to speak confidently, because really that's one of the scariest thing to do, to really speak confidently. And right now with social media, people want to hear more of what you have to say, right? And I teach them how to be vulnerable without giving much details. How to organize their thoughts.
Sure, yeah, organization and structure into the talk.
Yes. And because sometimes they tell me, how can I, you know, make an impact with like 11 minutes or 15 minutes? I said, you can. If you structure your talk well, if first you know what your goal is with the talk, what is your main message in the talk, and then how could you connect, which is with a story.
That's true. Right?
But how will you also structure the story so that it's not like going from one place to the other? It, you know, it has that impact at the end, right? So they're able to do that. And it's not easy to structure a talk for like 10, 15 minutes.
It's hard.
Yes, it's hard. But you know what's hard? I tell my clients, this is the thing that makes it hard. You structure, you make your talk. It's hard to make it 15 minutes because you're so attached to the details of the talk. When you're so attached to the talk, and then I ask them, is it really relevant to say this part? They say, oh yeah, I can take it out. See, you can take it out. So do not be attached to the talk, to the details. Get attached to the goal.
Are you enjoying and learning a lot? Let me know. Hey, I'm breaking my own episode to invite you for your high-ticket next level masterclass. If you're a coach or a consultant tired of serving one-on-one clients and ready to have that four-hour workday without compromising client results, have the work-life integration you've always wanted, and that multiple six or seven figures by creating, selling, and launching your own group coaching program, well, all you gotta do is join us and save your seat. Register through CassieBajarillo.com. I'm so excited to see you and meet you real soon. Now, let's get back to today's episode.
Get attached to the goal and, you know, take out those distractions that will, you know, exceed your talk to the allotted time. Because I tell them, once you're invited to a talk and they say you're allotted 15 minutes, never go beyond 15 minutes.
Yeah, because it's going to affect the entire event.
Yes, yes, because I've been in the events industry before. And so I share with them the stress that they are going to cause if they go beyond the time. Not only that, I say, if you go beyond the time, they feel like, I might not invite this person again. So if you want to have recurring engagements, then just, you know, make everybody happy.
Right. And of course, having also a shorter talk, I mean, hits the spot already.
Yeah.
Right. And it's actually hard. It's really, really hard. And even, you know, even when as speakers, even as coaches, when we do our curriculum, sometimes it's so much easier to explain things in length. But of course, as you also go through the program, you were like, I don't need to know this anymore. Just tell me what to do and cut the chase. And I think that is the problem with the other coaching. I mean, in the coaching industry, I've been reading also some, like, there's too much motivation in between. Like, I don't care. I mean, I don't need the motivation anymore because the more that I get to do things, I'll be motivated. So, yeah. Or there's too much inspiration in here. I mean, I don't need inspiration. I'm already going to be inspired if you may tell me what to do. So, and it's very, very, it's relevant as well in terms of consulting, because even in consulting, I totally agree that your presentation needs to explain things in layman's terms or as fast as possible or as simple as possible.
Yes, make it as simple as possible. I mean, it's easier for the audience to grasp if it's simple, but on your end as a speaker, if it's simple, so it's easier to remember.
Yes, right? Especially if you walk the walk, right? If you walk the walk, you'll be like, okay, this is the flow. This is what happened. This is how I'm going to do it. And then boom, bam, right? You don't have to tell like the Dear Diary story anymore. It's really great. So how are you able to connect this into entrepreneurship? Of course, it was, I can't say that it was accidental because you really, really thought of it. Like, I wanted to do this. It's just that you had challenges in between on how do you actually piece them all together. That's why you came into the program. But what made you say that, okay, I can make this something that people will be able to grow into? And something that you can say, this is the entrepreneurial path that I'm going to go for.
Okay. How did I, I guess I was really just answering a problem.
Yeah.
Like all the businesses and all the businesses that, you know, made it big, they were all answering a problem. And it also answered my problem before.
Yes.
Right? So I can really say 100% to the life coach, I know what you're going through. Mm. And they believe me. I know the pain. I know this part. I know this part. You know, I know when it comes to connecting, or I know the pain of, I know I'm good at coaching. Why is it no one's getting me? Or I know I'm good at coaching. Why is it when I'm speaking, it's like no one's listening?
Mm.
Right? And I know the pain. That's why for me, I was really answering a need.
I think what I'm getting here from you is that when you pursue something, don't pursue something just because it's a trend, just because you want to pursue something out of a whim, but rather pursue something because it was a personal problem. It's close to you. It's close to your heart. And if you have this perspective of, you know, I mean, you had this perspective wherein if I'm having this kind of problem, what more are these other people? And who's going to do that? Who's going to answer that? Who's going to actually teach that? Who's going to guide people that, right? And there is such a missed potential. And I think you just raise a very important piece in terms of the entrepreneurial path, because there are, of course, people would say, maybe if I do this because there's more money into that, maybe if I do this because people are saying that this is supposed to be my path, or, you know, the suggestive part. But I think what I'm understanding or getting from you is that, okay, why don't you tap into your personal concerns and then respond to that first, and as you become your own testament, and then go ahead and pass it along and pay it forward, because people will need that kind of answer because you found it.
Yeah.
And that is actually beautiful. So let's just say, okay, so going through...
But wait, I go ahead. Just add to that.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I feel that if you're going to go for, you know, a business that is, they say it will give you money, or because this is what other people are saying, you could, but when times get hard, difficult, you won't be able to have that resiliency, because you're like, why am I doing this? Because, you know, every entrepreneur, it's really a lot of ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that more down, more low. But in those low, really, why am I doing this?
It always gets back to that, right?
Yeah. Why? If it's just for the money, okay, maybe I'll find another business. If it's because other people will say that, I don't think that will give you the drive, especially in this low times. But if you really have that, you know why you're doing this, then that will give you the drive when it's, you know, those challenging times in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and actually, for me personally, whenever that challenges happens, I don't know, or maybe I've become this too optimistic already. Let's just say whenever I get sick as well, I would think of it, oh, I'm just having up-leveling flu. Like my husband would say, what is that? What are you inventing again? It's like, no, because I get Eureka moments. Because, oh my gosh, there is another problem to solve. And it's not just this problem that I thought before. So it gets more fleshed out on just one problem. And there are little bit more problems inside until you get to find out, okay, how do I solve this so that it becomes even more seamless? And you're right. When hard times happen, this is where the real you actually comes out of the shell. This is where you're going to ask yourself, okay, am I really doing the right thing? Am I really doing what I love? Am I just wasting my time? Is this worth my time? Is it worth all the exhaustion? Is it worth of all these things? Because when you're high of a high, the high is temporary, but it can also, you know, that high can also happen during your lowest point. Because you're during your lowest point, you can also feel that I'm grateful that I'm having this kind of challenges, because these challenges that I'm having are actually the thing that I love doing the most and solving the most. So it becomes still a part of the high, I believe. or I don't know, I'm not sure, maybe I'm just too optimistic about things now, but it is actually true. It's the inner work of it all. So you're right. So I just wanted to share that and expound that even further, because in the rise of coaching and consulting industry, this is the best career anyone can ever have, because it's crisis proof, right? And it's going to be a $1 billion day opportunity up until 2025. So pretty much, what's the use of doing things that isn't aligned to you, right? So might as well do something that you love and do hard things and enjoy it. Okay.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask you though, now that you have been elevating yourself, you have pivoted several times, what do you think is the common denominator of all these experiences that you had that still brought you into a space of, this is still what I want to do, and I'm just going to go and ride with it. I'm still going to do it. This is what I love. I'm going to last, and I'm going to retire. No, actually, it's not retire. I'm going to have this kind of career throughout the years.
Common denominator.
God.
Mm.
The driving force.
Okay, on a deeper level, in a while, I'll tell the top layer. But on a deeper level, you know, when I was going through my hardest times, you know, 2015, 2016, 17, it was really life coaches who helped me. You know, just being there and helping me. So I said, if they help me, a lot of people are in need of life coaches. And really, that's my driving force. The more coaches that I help, the more people that I help. I don't need to be the one to help those who are at the really end of, you know, the ones that are in need. But I can help life coaches better because I have the capacity. I have the gifts.
That's true.
You know, being an events manager, speakers mentor, being a habits coach, it's really, you know, all my gifts I can, and they can actually, I use them. And it made me where I am now. So the coaches, the life coaches, they can really use it. You know, they can really apply everything, and they can really help more. On a top level, the common denominator of it all is I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. You do.
I really enjoy doing it. I mean, yeah, there are low moments, but when I go up, which is like right now, when I go up, I just, I learned that in that low moment, and I can, add that to my learnings. And it's just having those aha moments.
Yes.
That gives me joy. Helping the life coaches, that gives me joy. Finding other ways, you know, finding opportunities, listening to companies, to corporate, you know, what they need. I mean, those corporate who thought that they just need one session, and because I listened, it becomes three sessions. I mean, wow. I mean, other than I'm being compensated, but it's really more of having more impact to the corporate, to the companies, to the teams, to the, you know, individual employees.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's, I don't know, I enjoy it.
Exactly. That's so true. So let me just ask you this as well, before we dive into the last part of what I'm about to ask you. So Vads, since we've been working together for about 2 years now, and oh my goodness, we've gone a long way. So many things have happened. If there is any key takeaway through this entrepreneurial journey that you've been having and you've gone through and still going through, what was the greatest lesson so far that made you say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, continue doing this? I mean, we've been working for 2 years now, and it still made you say that I'm just going to pursue things. What were the lessons that you had that made you say also that I've become a better person because I went through this kind of investing in myself?
Major takeaways or learnings that I had is, one, I really crossed over from that scarcity mindset to the abundance mindset.
Yeah.
Because I still see people making decisions out of fear, scared of losing clients out of fear, out of scarcity, when in fact, they can have clients that are aligned to them. And really, I mean, for me, that's a big breakthrough.
It is, right? That the world, there are 7 billion people in the world. It's impossible that there's no one person that is soul aligned to you. Okay.
Yeah. And and just having that, you know, abundance mindset. And yes, aside from knowing myself, knowing my values, knowing my, you know, what matters to me, I think having that abundance mindset will also prevent you from comparing yourself to others.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that I never compare myself anymore. I still have my moments.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I still have my moments, but then again, whenever I'm into that comparison mode or scarcity mode, not only does it take away my joy, it takes away good strategy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also because we're human beings, it's natural also for us to feel a little bit more of envy or jealousy with other people, like this person is doing this and stuff like that. But I think, you know, I think what would be a good perspective into that, which I also share with you guys, is that when you feel a little bit envious or jealous of other people, it's actually not envy and jealousy that you need to think of it like as if it's negative. Because for me now, when I look into, which I would share with you guys and to the listeners, so when you feel jealousy and envy, it just means that there's something more that you can do. Think of it this way, right? That, okay, this person is excelling. So let's just say this person is now traveling the entire world. And you realize, but that person was just like me before, or that person is me as well right now. So why am I not traveling the entire world? So you're feeling this envy and jealousy. So it's actually not envy and jealousy. It's actually questioning yourself, like, what am I restraining? What am I holding back? What is it that I can do that she's now doing? Or maybe all I got to do is just book that damn ticket. Maybe what is this fear, right? So it's actually a good indicator of asking yourself on, okay, where is this coming from? It's a way of processing things. So I don't know. I mean, I think that is one way also of saying that there are things that you don't see that others can see. And now mm-hmm. that you that they're doing it, then now maybe you can do it too. So I hope that helps those who are listening. So if you're having that comparatitis, comparing yourself with other people, I guess it's also a good thing. I've realized this as well, because sometimes I also look into myself like, okay, other people are doing this. But then again, it's true. Don't compare your chapter 1 to their chapter 10. But instead of comparing, ask yourself, how can that chapter 10 also happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I hope that actually also helps you somehow. And the world talaga is all about inner work, right? The inner work is really the one that really happens. So, but another thing that I would ask is, what were the experiences or the breakthroughs that you had that made you say, okay, going through this entrepreneurial venture, you've learned a lot yourself. And what were the breakthroughs that you've had?
Breakthroughs.
I guess. Wow, I can do this. Yeah.
Well, one is it really pays figuratively and, you know, and literally, it really pays if you really listen to your clients. If you take time to really sit down and listen, what is their pain? What are they going through? Because before I kind of assumed that these are their pain. But when you actually sit down and listen to them, one, they feel important. It gives importance. Two, it builds relationship between you and the client. Relationship that goes beyond business. And I've had clients that are like that. Our relationship are beyond business already. And of course, once you know their pain, then you can structure your program, your service better. So it's really, for me, that's a big aha moment, because it's also like being humble enough to know, to actually admit that you don't know everything.
Yeah, so true. That's so true. So bad. Having to said all those things, I guess let's go into this advices that you can do and you can give to the industry, right? So that they'll be able to elevate their businesses also. Maybe I should ask you this. Is there really such a thing as work-life balance? And is that BS as well for you? Or is there such a thing as work-life integration within this kind of space that you are venturing on?
If you believe that there is, then you can have one. If you believe, it starts, I guess, for me, before I had this limiting belief that it's not possible. It's not even possible. I mean, that means if I'm good at this, I'll not be good at this, right? It's not possible. But then again, you know, life opened and, you know, your program, your mentoring, your coaching, and also, you know, my batchmates, you know, it's just, oh my gosh, it's real. It's just, this is one of my, I think, greatest takeaways. It's really more than the action. You have to plan, create your system. I know I'm the person, I'm the mentee. Because I, you know, I'm the person that, I don't want to plan. I just want to take action.
Yeah.
I want to take action. And I get results.
Yeah, you do. But what more if?
What more if you plan? And not only that, there are times that life happens. And if you plan ahead, you're like what you always tell me, even if life happens, your business can still run if you have that plan, if you have that system and structure. And I don't want my business to stop just because my kid got sick. I mean, I love my kids, but I also love my business. I love my passion. So it's just a matter of planning and, you know, creating that system.
Yeah, having an infrastructure is so, so important because as women, we go through hormonal changes, we go through life, but remember that life passes through you, not for you or with you anymore. It's really through you. And these things that have been happening in our lives, it's happening because there's a lesson that we need to learn from it. Now, it's a matter of preparation. Again, the preparation part is the one that would, you know, block the hindrances to happen. So that's why the infrastructure is the one that really runs the machine so that you can step out of your business, right? Yeah. And I remember when you said like, oh my gosh, Cassie, I closed an account while driving.
Yeah.
How is this possible?
And while in the grocery, remember?
Yeah, how is this possible? I was laughing when you were messaging me, Cassie, I closed in the grocery while I was doing the grocery. Is this possible? I was like, possible. I don't have to be on a Zoom call.
Yes.
Oh, you just have to talk to them. It's just like, and then you were sleeping. Like, Cassie, I just woke up. There are three people who paid. Is this possible? Like, yeah, it's right in front of you.
And funny, I mean, when I was sleeping at that time, before I slept, I was kind of doubting myself. If, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I was kind of doubting myself. Why is it no one's, you know, closing? And I slept, you know, because it was draining me. And then when I woke up, So really patience, just be patient.
And trust the process.
Yes, trust the process.
Well, I'm so happy for you, Vad. So let's just say there are life coaches who are listening right now and they wanted to have that support that you give. What are the things that they need in order for them to actually work with you? Maybe you can give them a little bit more advice or maybe some tips so that you'll be able to say that, okay, you and I are the right fit to work together.
Okay. So for the life coaches, one is I'd love to help you. You know, I'd love to help you. But first, you got to know who you are, because that's what I'm going to ask you to. You got to know who you are, what your values are. I mean, beyond the life coaching, I got to know who you really are and what expertise you have, what value you can give to the client, because that is what the clients are looking for, what value you can give to the client. And who do you want to talk to, or who do you want to serve? It's very important that you know that. And and really ask yourself, why are you in this business of life coaching?
That's pretty tricky too when you say life coaching, right? Everybody, I mean, I remember there are life coaches who are 19 years old, 22 years old. And also I remember a couple of friends would say, why is this person a life coach? What does he know about life coaching? 10 years ago, he was just 10. Or 10 years ago, he was just what? Fresh out of college? So what do you know about life, right? So coming from that space of, okay, how do you respond to that? When people would say, why are you a life coach? What do you know about life?
You know, there are great life coaches that are in their early 20s. Yeah. It's not because, you know, it's, I mean, it, like what we say, age is just a number. It's the experience that they had in their life that I think that would make them like great life coaches. And I have had, I mean, personally, I have had experience with life coaches who are in their early 20s. And their wisdom is so valuable. So just with that, I cannot say, oh, you're in your early 20s and you have no business in life coaching. I can't say that.
I guess it also depends on, that is why they need you, because it's the marketing, right? It's having to say that I'm a life coach for what? A life coach to help you to get to where? A life coach about, you know, I mean, it's strange, I guess, if you like you're in your 20s and then you're life coaching married people and you're not married. I think that maybe there's a little disconnect there, or maybe I might be wrong too, but what is your take with that?
Okay. What I do know and experience, the life coaches are great with the pains that they went through. And usually the life coaches that I work with, that's because that's the pain that they went through. That's also the expertise. It's, I guess it's natural. It's also the expertise that they want to focus on.
Yeah, it's a background as well. And I know that also from life coaches, there's some sort of psychology, NLP. There's a lifelong journey ahead.
Yes.
You've got to ask the right questions, processing. Oh, it's a different world altogether.
Yes.
And you can be also empathetic or sympathetic. Yes. Right. So it depends on what kind of involvement it's going to be. So I guess
there are different, a lot of kinds of life coaches.
Exactly.
Different modalities. Yeah. And it really depends where that is really where I come in. Mm. Because I get, okay, you're good at this. Okay, this person, this organization, this team, this company needs this. They sometimes life coaches don't get clients because corporate clients, because there's a miscommunication, right? The company needs this, but the life coach says, oh, I can offer this. So they see that it's a different thing, but actually it's the same. It's just a matter of, okay,
delivery,
translating. Yeah. For me, that's what I do. I translate. Okay, you can, this life coach can actually deliver this. She is good at this, or he is good at this. And this is what you need, and they can address this.
And this is why they need you, because again, great coaches are great in what they do, but they need to have marketing so that they can have their voice heard and pin out exactly who it is that they serve and what kind of knowledge that they have. Because the word expertise comes from also the word experience, right? So it's the same root word. Okay, so that's actually great. So Vance, do you have any last words for those people who wants to elevate their game when it comes to being a speaker or when it comes to being a life coach and to get their visibility out there better? Do you have any last words for them or advices for them?
You've said a lot. You've said a lot. I guess you're a life coach for a reason. You've gone through something. You've gone through a challenge. That's most life coaches are like that. They've gone through something. They've gone through a challenge and, you know, they've experienced life coaching and then they become life coaches. And then you focus on the challenge. I mean, you focus on answering the challenge that you were in. But at the same time, you have to also know how to market yourself so that you can help more people. More than the money, it's really, you need to market yourself because more people need you. How will they know if you don't market yourself? How will they know if you don't speak? Speaking engagements is one of the best way to show your expertise. In 15 minutes, you can really show your expertise. And that's why I'm here.
Yeah, so what else can they expect from you, Bud? And where can they find
you? Okay. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Badette Araudio. I'm there. And you can just message me or email me, badette.araudio@gmail.com. And really, I'm here to help life coaches. You know, I'm here to empower you. And with structure, to grow your business, to sustain your business, because it's all about sustaining your business. It's not about a one-time breakthrough. It's all about sustaining your business, sustaining, helping more people. But you cannot help people if you don't sustain your business.
Yeah, that's so true. It all starts from visibility. Well, thanks again, Vats, for being in here. I'm very proud of you, of all these breakthroughs that you've had. It's been a whirlwind as well, but you were able to break every glass ceiling that there is. You've experienced, you know, things that were unimaginable for you before, and you're still here. You're still, you know, you're still pursuing, you're still very resilient about things, and you are now realizing more on what else is in store for you, like what else can this journey bring you. And I hope that you still get to continue this quest, because a lot of speakers and also life coaches, and actually most importantly, they need someone like you to balance out the yin and yang. If they need a little bit more push, right, then hey, that is actually there. All right, so this ends today's episode, everybody. So do drop me a note or a message on Instagram. It's Cassie Pajarillo, or you may also find me on LinkedIn. And do let us know, do share what you picked up on today's episode, and we'd love to feature as well what you just shared, what you realized. Do share it also on your stories, tag us, leave us a review, and we would love to share with you guys a gift, send you a gift. So don't get weirded out, guys, just in case someone asks for your email address or your home address and mobile number. Rest assured, it's from my team. So go ahead, you guys. We are here for you. And please do let us know what else you would want to hear from us. Again, this is your chief encourager, your host, Cassie Pajarillo Braganza. Drive ambition, serve love, be awesome. And by the way, guys, don't forget to save your seat and apply for your live private training. And go ahead and have your high ticket next level of masterclass. I'll see you guys inside. And thanks a bunch again. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Bye.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.